Welcome. Good evening. Welcome to Recharge. My name is Jason Smith. I'm the pastor here of First Baptist Boerne. And welcome to the kickoff to our spring semester. All right. So we value discipleship and the Wednesday night that we offer for children, for youth and adult classes. And we have these grand kickoff parties because we want to make really obvious entry points that say, hey, we've got some really good classes that we're offering. We want you to make this a part of your regular Wednesday night routine to get community and to press into the truth of God's word. We have meals that begin at about 4:45 on a regular Wednesday. John Nip and his crew over there do an incredible job. I promise you will not find better food at a better price in all of Boerne. It's a chance for your family to gather together, to eat together. Then we do a quick recharge, and that's what this is. Mark leads us in a couple songs, and I give a short sermonette that way we can gather together as a church, that way we can sing together, you can hear a quick encouraging word, and then everything starts at 6:30. So this semester, I'm going to walk us through, beginning next week, the idea of humility, and really just kind of dive into that, an incredible biblical truth of humility. But for this evening, I want to share with you a faith story that is one of the faith stories that has had the biggest impact on my own life and one of my own personal faith stories. Before we jump into it, you need to know I don't take any credit for this faith story. I am just tickled that the Lord allowed me to be a part of it. When I was a pastor in Plainview at my previous church, there was an elderly lady. She was in her mid-60s, named Rosa. And I knew when that was coming out, you guys were all going to just get me on that. I didn't know how to hit the abort button when I was saying it. So sometimes you get up here, and that's why I script everything out on Sunday morning so I don't step in it. Now you guys aren't going to listen to anything I say. You're just going to go, I cannot believe you said someone in their mid-60s is elderly. All right, they are a seasoned adult, okay? Seasoned adult. My apologies. Let me paint a picture of Rosa if we could rein it back in. She was a tiny, tiny Hispanic woman, sat in the back left corner. She didn't speak English. She understood English fairly well, but her daughter would sit next to her and translate the sermons or difficult portions of the sermon for her. It was about 6 months after me being there that she... her and her daughter met me in my office, and she began to unfold her testimony to me that she had come to faith in Jesus Christ probably 20, 25 years prior to that, but she began to feel convicted that she had never been baptized and that she needed to be baptized. So I had the honor and privilege of baptizing her, one of the highlights of my ministry. Rosa was quiet, unassuming. She actually lived a really hard life. She was embarrassed of the fact that she had an abusive husband, that at one point she had to leave and then raise her 5 kids on her own. She moved to Plainview as a migrant field worker. She was uneducated. Her skin was stained by the sun. After many, many years of working in the field, she needed her kids to work in the field alongside her every chance she could just to get enough money to survive. Having been to her home, I could tell you she was poor. Like third world conditions poor living here in the United States. By the worldly standards, she was completely forgotten in the background. But Rosa had a big faith, And she loved Jesus. And what you could tell from her testimony is that she had walked through trials and the difficulty of life, and she knew that Jesus was big enough and strong enough to carry her through every up and down and valley of life. She was a prayer warrior. She was a prayer warrior and a leader. We had a Spanish-speaking Sunday school class, and she was always charging up her class, and she was a prayer warrior, and she would keep track of the prayer requests and send them out. She was faithful. She was an evangelist to her family, always telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. And she would say to me often, "I need you to pray for my sons, George and Mark, because they're not saved. They don't know Jesus." Hey, Brad, is there any way I can get the music turned off back here? "Pray for my sons, George and Mark." Well, about 6 months after baptizing Rosa, she was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. She was given 8 months to live. And I would visit with her and go to her house, pray with her, check on her, see how she was doing. I was always overwhelmed and impressed by the amount of joy that she had in the midst of this trial. I was learning faith from her, because you could see it, that she knew that Jesus was more than enough, even though she faced terminal cancer. And then every time before I would leave, she would say to me, "Now you got to remember, pray for George and for Mark." All the way until the very end, pray for George and Mark. Looking back, I will tell you that the Holy Spirit began to stir up faith in me that God was about to do something. That God was about to save George and Mark. It's the only way I can describe it. Because the Holy Spirit began to stir in me, and I began to pray with fervency and with a confidence that I would tell you came from God Himself, that He was about to do something. As I prepared for Rosa's funeral, I sensed that the Lord gave me the passage out of John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is the woman at the well, who gets saved out of her circumstance. She goes back to her community and she tells them, "Hey, you gotta come meet this Jesus." And the people come. And when the people first come, they come because of the woman's testimony. But then at the conclusion of that passage, the people say, "Hey, at first we came because of her, but now we come because we've seen and we've heard." And God gave me that passage to preach at Rosa's funeral. And the only way I know how to describe it, guys, is in the middle of preaching that sermon, the Holy Spirit began to give me an utterance that has happened very few times. Like, I sense the Lord using me in my giftings when I preach and I'm hiding behind His word, but there have been a handful of times where I know God is using this sermon. This was one of those times in that funeral, and I'm thinking, "Man, George and Mark are going to get saved right here." Nothing, but I knew. About a month later, someone came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "George and Mark are asking questions. They're asking questions." And so I reached out to them. I said, "Hey, would you guys like to do lunch? I would love to take you to lunch and just get to have a conversation with you." They said, "Absolutely, absolutely." I go to lunch, and it's one of the most awkward hour lunches I've ever had. George doesn't speak English either and is hiding behind his brother, and so I'm having to do this whole translation thing. I'm asking questions, and it's like I'm pulling teeth, and we're eating, and it's just a lot of awkward silence. So we get through it as cordial as we can, and we go back to my office, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to present the gospel. And as soon as I transitioned the conversation, George, who didn't say a word to me all lunch, sits forward on his seat, now begins to speak English to me and tell me, "Finally, this is why I'm here. You tell me how I get what my mom had." And George and Mark got saved in my office, and I got to do their baptism. Amen. And upon leaving College Heights Baptist Church, there was a couple in our church who was discipling them and seeing incredible faith and growth. I share that with you with these two simple points. One, the scripture says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those, because he wants to strengthen those whose hearts are turned towards him. Here's the deal. God saw and knew Rosa, and Rosa was a giant in the kingdom of God, even though by earthly standards, she was an absolute forgotten in the background. And secondly, don't you ever stop praying for your loved ones. Because even in your death, the Lord can use that to bring them to faith. Praise God for that.